welcome to the Merry Movie Massacre.
It took you a while. There you go.
Dead Pit with The Plan.
And CK. And with special guest appearance by Uncle Bill a little bit later, supposedly.
Yeah, that don't promise anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it. So, we Steve's going to jingle my balls a little bit later.
You're going to deck my halls. Balls.
Balls. You know, the idea we had for this show, since it's so close to Christmas, you know, Christmas is this upcoming Wednesday, Stephen Lee.
It is.
I thought it would be an interesting idea for me, at least, because these movies, all three of these movies, I've never seen that we're going to be reviewing. Never seen before.
Unseen.
And there's a lot of holiday horror films out there. Right, wouldn't you agree? I mean, there's tons of them. It seems like it's a big thing now.
I mean, yeah, there's like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
Two.
Three. There's Jack Frost 1.
Jack Frost 2.
That's all I know. I don't know.
Jack Frost in 3D.
There's like White Christmas, and then there's a Black Christmas.
Yep.
Which is racist. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
There's Blacker Christmas with Mark Henry. Starring in it. Somebody said, back of my head look like a milk dude. So.
Yeah, it's all kinds of Christmas horror movies out there.
It's going to be very festive, Steve. Very festive, this edition of Dead Pit.
This is a total massacre.
Yeah, this is the Merry Movie Massacre edition. We've never done this, and this could be a tradition. We'll do it almost every year.
Or could be the battleground of our shows.
Yeah, or over the limit.
Over the limit.
Yeah. Or Fatal 4-Way. Remember that one? That was one time. That was one pay-per-view. It's like, hey, goddamn, we ain't doing this again.
What about In Your House Mind Games?
That was a good one. That was a good pay-per-view.
Well.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Final Resolution is on TNA tonight.
Ah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, it's live, free on Spike TV.
It's not live, by the way. They recorded all those shows like...
I know they recorded up till middle of January.
Yeah, so... going to be a brief show this week. You know, I had one of those days at work today where you get out of work, you just want to fucking murder somebody. And that's how I felt. I mean, it was just fucking nonstop aggravation the whole fucking day. So I'm not in the best of moods, and I've cussed Steve out quite a bit while I've had him on the phone here.
Yeah, I had a great day. I just listened to Howard Stern and watched YouTube videos.
Wow.
Holla.
I'm glad you had such a pleasant day, fucker.
Yeah. My last day, tomorrow's my last day for a week and a half, so go see if I can coast.
What are you going to do with yourself in that amount of time, man?
I just get caught up on some shows on my DVR and do some light work around the house and watch movies.
Well,
yeah.
You should have a pleasant time in the next couple of weeks. Just relaxed. And
yeah.
Make Dana cook for you the whole time.
Yeah, I may not leave the bed for a few days. Just have her bring stuff in and, you know, bring in a pot to piss in and stuff. Mm.
Maybe you could get Linnea to climb up on you and piss on you.
I got some Depends in the closet, so I'm going to wear those so I don't have to get out of bed to take a shit or piss. So.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, Dana's looking forward to that.
I do want to wish Bruce Benningfield a Merry Christmas, though.
Well, he had a Merry Christmas. He had like 20-some crickets that he devoured.
Well, he had his Christmas feast early.
Well, Dana's got him a little bag of like, it's like trail mix for lizards. It's got like little worms in it and dead worms and then some other shit. So He'll have a good Christmas.
Excellent. So, what this show is, we're going to go through the news and stuff. Not a whole lot of news. Of course, this time of year, not much going on. We're going to review three holiday horror films. Now,
three. No, that's not three. That's more than two.
Yeah.
Less than four.
One more than two.
Yeah. This many. I got my hands raised, you see?
Two less than five.
I'm Uncle Creepy's Blu-ray Christmas Buyer's Guide. Uncle Creepy.
Uncle Creepy knows what's what and shit.
He knows what's what and where's it at and so forth.
Well, yeah, and he's a big fan of Adam Green.
Who ain't?
Anyway, the films we're going to look at... I had fun with all these films in a way, you know, they're from 1980. It's a film directed by famed filmmaker and, you know, just legendary all around guy, David Hess.
Woo.
It was his attempt at a slasher film. Back in the early days of slasher films, I don't know. I haven't really. He only directed one other film, and it was a documentary short. So this is pretty much his only feature length film. To All a Good Night, Steve.
Mm-hmm. And also from Across the Pond, Don't Open Till Christmas.
That's right. And another one that Uncle Bill and I watched last night, believe it or not. Uncle Bill actually, you know.
Did you eat some greasy pizza?
We did.
I heard.
Starring Grizzly Adams himself, Dan Haggerty.
Woo! Yeah, where's Ben?
Elves.
I wish Ben would show up.
Which, I can't wait to talk about that movie because it, and I hope to God you're going to watch it this weekend, Steve.
I is.
Have you never seen it before?
Oh, of course not.
Well, you're going to be in for a damn treat.
I like treats.
I'll say that. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But three? Sorry about that.
God damn.
Holiday horror films.
I can smell that over here.
Smells like fucking bologna.
Bologna ham.
Yeah, we're going to do the news, and then we'll talk about those three films in the next segment, and that'll be a show, because, like I said, had a rough day, not in the best of moods. I'm not going to entertain you people today. Maybe next week I'll feel a little bit better, but yeah, it's one of those days where, you know, I had a no good, very bad day. Say that. So anyway, on to the news, Steve.
Yes.
They're already talking about a Purge 2.
Yes, they are.
Have you heard about this? Real life husband and wife. Zach Guilford and Kiel Sanchez, along with actors Michael K. Williams and Carmen Ejigo, have joined and the cast.
Frank Grillo.
Yeah, of James DeMonaco's sequel at Universal and Blumhouse. Frank Grillo stars in the film, which explores a 12-hour period where all crime is allowed and condoned. The film is currently targeting a June 20th, 2014 release. So pretty much a year apart from the first film, which is surprising. And I'm wondering if this is going to be, since nobody of any name recognition is in this, is this going to be a direct-to-video sequel? And I would say yes. I would say that that's probably what they're going to do, or maybe direct to video on demand or whatever it is.
Ooh, maybe they'll have a simultaneous release on all platforms.
Could be. You never know. High tech society out there.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy.
Another bit of interesting news that I'm really looking forward to, because I haven't seen this film in quite some time, and I think it'd I've never seen the Final Cut version, which is going to be out. The Wicker Man, which comes out on Blu-ray from Lionsgate Home Entertainment January the 7th, 2014, features an all-new restored edition of director Robin Hardy's Final Cut. The spectacular Blu-ray also features brand new bonus content, including a restoration comparison, interview with Robin Hardy, and two informative featurettes. The film will arrive in a collectible package with brand new artwork. And the extras include an interview with director Robin Hardy, restoration comparison featurette, Worshipping the Wicker Man featurette, and the music of the Wicker Man featurette.
Whoa.
Are they going to have it in one of those wooden boxes again? That'd be fucking awesome. I should do that.
I could put it next to my original Wicker Man wooden box.
There you go. There you go.
If they make maybe they can make a bigger one so I can put that one wood box into another.
Yeah, maybe they can make like a little Wicker Man cabinet thing.
Maybe they can make a little Wicker Man.
No, that'd be neat.
Oh, yeah.
Lionsgate, though, I don't really know them of doing too many gimmicky releases.
Yeah.
Something that I do want to tell people about, though, that I
couldn't
fucking believe when I saw this. I was like, holy shit, like that's a fucking $200 set, you know?
Right.
FoxConnect.com has this. Evidently, they're doing kind of a fire sale on this set. I don't know if they just want to get... want to get the stuff out, want to make room in the warehouse or what, but they've got I think it's a 14 DVD set of all of the Planet of the Apes, original Planet of the Apes movies, along with the Ape Head that, you could put the DVDs, I think, in the back of the damn Ape Head, and it's $30, man, shipped. This is free shipping and everything. Like, I couldn't fucking believe it.
Well, I think it probably comes with more than just the movies. It probably comes with that TV series.
Yeah, the TV, it's the cartoon.
And then probably the animated show that they had in the 70s as well.
Right, the cartoon series and the TV show and all the movies. Like I said, it's 14 discs. I think there's bonus discs.
It's a bonus disc. Yeah, that's $2 a disc.
I can
and change.
Yeah, I can probably look it up here on because they sent me an email. I got it as soon as it went on sale because one of the marketing people at Fox, of course, we're kind of a big deal here at Deadbit. They'll send me all these deals and stuff. It's six movies and two TV series and hours. Upon hours of special hours. Features. And an ape head.
And an ape head. It's Caesar. It's Caesar's head.
Exactly.
And also they released the trailer for the next Planet of the Apes movies, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
They did.
Which looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
I actually haven't seen that, but I did enjoy the Rise of Planet of the Apes. I thought that was an amazing movie because it was kind of a remake but kind of not. It's kind of like a prequel in a way to leading up to.
It's modernized and kind of more realistic. Of the conquest of the Planet of the Apes, basically.
Yeah, which I heard the original version of that's not too good.
Oh, I love Conquest. It's super. It's one of the most violent ones. Entries.
Well, violence isn't the answer, Steve.
Well, sometimes it's a good question.
But yeah, I'm looking at the extras and stuff. I mean, this is pretty amazing.
Well, I got the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I actually have the Blu-ray of most of the movies.
It's tempting because it's a cool piece, but I just don't have no place for it. I know it's cool as hell. I deep down I really want it, but
maybe Dana will get it for you for Christmas.
No, we've already got our Christmas shopping done. So
you agreed to get each other one item apiece.
No, she got me about two or so, and I got her one big geek item that I'm sure she'll be on Facebook showing off because it's something really cool that I know she likes a lot. So
was it expensive for you?
Not too bad.
Oh, you have to tell me what it is after we take this break here. Yeah, on well, Dead
she's,
Pit.
She's right here, so I can't tell you.
Oh, well, fuck.
I can send you a link to a page where it's on with a bunch of other items, but you'd have to, you know.
I see.
Figure it out, but.
So as far as other news goes, I guess we'll talk about everything in this.
I saw something. They're making some sequels to some movies that didn't make, or is this kind of like a little too late in my opinion? Let me.
It's a little too late.
A little too late, darling.
Honey.
Honey. Let me see here.
Let's see.
Green Inferno has a 2014 release date.
Not a theatrical release date, though.
Oh, I like the September. Damn. Shoot.
The Eli Roth is banned from theatrical releases from here on out.
Now, what do you think about Never Sleep Again going to Blu-ray?
I'm getting a review copy of it. I'll check it out and see. I mean, documentary films. I like documentary films, but ultimately, I don't have to have them on Blu-ray. I think if they had added, something in there, maybe the remake or something, they could have had some people, some talking heads. You gotta add more to the product to just re-release the same thing on Blu-ray. I don't think it's gonna do that well.
I mean, yeah, I just don't know why. I think that type of film, I mean, you may get some new people, but nobody's going to rebuy it just for the Blu-ray.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it's like I was saying, though, if they should have put something extra on there that's not,
yeah,
you know, in the original release, because it's a 4 or 5 year old documentary now, and it's, you know, they've done a film since then, so you can, if they wanted to, they could have went back and done a segment for the remake, but I would have been interested in seeing that, just seeing if anybody would attempt to defend that movie.
Oh, one thing I watched was really cool. I don't know. It was, you remember the Safe Haven segment of VHS 2?
Yep, it was the only good segment on there, I thought.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I saw their previous movie. It's called, they're the Moe Brothers, and they directed a movie called Macabre. And, it's brutal.
Macabre.
As heck and bloody. Of course, I don't know, I guess it's in Thai, I guess, or Indonesian. I don't know where the hell they're from. But, yeah, that was, it was really cool.
That's cool.
So, I don't know. It may be released out there yet. I don't know, but,
well, how'd you see it? How'd you see it?
I got people who look out for me and, let me, you know, see things. I got people.
Oh, I see. Interesting bit of news, though, for fans of 80s. School-themed horror films. That's a piece of shit, by the way. 1981's College Campus Slasher, Final Exam. And 1982's Satanic Revenge Epic, Evil Speak, starring Clint Howard, will both be making their debut on Blu-ray for the first time this summer. Both titles have been with Code Red, along with... this is another long-time cult film home entertainment company for some time, and Scream Factory, of course, is pleased to announce that they're releasing the fucking things. So we will have to wait and see for that. I know Evil Speak just came out. The DVD of that just came out not too long ago from Code Red, which was weird.
Now, also... Voices from Beyond from Code Red on Blu-ray is out of print now.
Well, good.
So you can go look at my eBay auction.
How much is it going for right now?
Well, I've got a few more days. It's only like $20-something.
Okay. The real key there, Steve, though, is hanging on to it a little bit longer.
A little bit longer?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. But one thing I like to bring up is this week, unfortunately, I don't get it, brought the new network from Robert Rodriguez, the El Rey Network. And they're getting ready to they're starting production on a Dusk to Dawn 10-part TV show, which I would love to see. When I love to have the network, because it sounds like it's going to be kind of like just his kind of type of movies that he likes and other kind of programming. But so far, I haven't been able to find it.
What about the WWE Network? Are you looking forward to that?
Possibly. I mean, I've read some stuff about it. Of course, it's streaming, which is fine with me. I think that's probably the most economical thing.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to pay. But then again, you know, they need to, if they're going to stream live events, they're going to need to, you know, make sure it's, you know, not going to have too many hiccups.
You know, the thing is, with that, is you really, I think that they don't even realize the market there yet. And maybe somebody will, and I know we're talking wrestling, but hear me out for a second.
Hear him.
They have so many events. Okay, like, imagine this. You can stream the live SmackDown on Tuesday, exclusive to the WWE Network. You could do that. You could stream some of the big house shows live.
Through the WWE Network.
Yeah, through the WWE Network. I think that the live streaming thing for them, you know, I mean, all these little things that they could put up there, I think it's a good idea, and I think that they need to get with, if I was WWE, I would get with Netflix or, you know, Hulu or one of those companies that already has a substantial amount of people, and offer that as an add-on to your Netflix subscription or add-on to your Hulu subscription.
Well, I think they're going with somebody, the people behind Major League Baseball Online, because they offer a lot of baseball games online.
Yeah.
And they seem to have, from what I heard, like the best kind of setup to do streaming. So I think they're getting with them. I think another thing is it's going to be like two channels in one. One's going to be at like you on, you know, like a Netflix thing where you
Let's
can go through the library, and then they're going to actually have a live streaming channel just, you know, playing whatever kind of programming they want.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be pretty cool. I know, I heard something about, I don't know, maybe just be people talking that you buy like 6 months of, you know, pay 6 months up front and you get WrestleMania for free or something.
I'd fucking totally do it. What they need to do, though, is, so everybody can get it, you know, do it on Roku, do it on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
You got to do that, I would think, wouldn't you? I mean, you're not going to have it just on the internet.
I mean, they have to do it on, you know, anything that can do that type of thing. Anything that can get Netflix needs to get the WWE.
Yeah, WWE Network. They should already have a Roku channel, by the way, which they don't. But fuck, I don't know why like that. So they should go that route. I mean, I like that idea better to me. I mean, honestly, the idea of having a regular channel where you just turn it there and I'm not into that. I'm not into regular TV either.
Woo!
On demand's the way to go, and I think that's going to be awesome.
I mean, it's going to be, it might be pretty cool. I mean, especially where I heard that they, you know, an idea where they could get NXT and have that be like a live event.
Yeah.
And then that way you can train everybody, camera people, wrestlers, everybody will be trained into that. So it gets them more experience. And also, I mean, WWE right now is waiting because all their licenses on all their shows are going to expire at the same time. So they're going to try to package all their programming for the highest bidder. So, so it's going to be interesting whether, whether or not somebody will buy everything or just, individual packages or what's going to exactly happen when that date comes up.
Did you watch the 50-year WWE documentary they come out with?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, it's actually on the, I've got it on the Vudu. You can watch it if you want to. It's on there. It's on in the movie section too, by the way.
Oh.
And, that's an awesome little doc. That's one of the best documentaries they've done in a long freaking time. They don't do that many anymore, by the way.
How long is it?
It's about 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That'd give them a little bit of time.
Yeah, they go through the whole, history of the company and a lot of the old stuff. They still call it WWF, and they have the old scratch WWF logo and stuff now. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was, aside from maybe the last 15, 20 minutes of it, just seemed like some sort of promotional thing for what they're doing now. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I guess that is it for the news. Not a whole lot of stuff going on right now is weird. Well, I guess this time of year is the reason.
Right.
But, one last thing though. I actually didn't see this. The Human Centipede 3.
The full sequel or final sequel?
The final sequence. Tom Six is completing work on the upcoming film. There is no telling, right now what we'll see.
I know what we'll see.
Not really. I mean, you never know. It's coming out sometime in 2014, but we'll have a clean look at some of the sales art that's being tossed around in the North American film market soon. Dieter Laser and Lawrence Harvey are returning for a plot that is reportedly going to contain a 500-person centipede.
And you're going to be the back end.
No, you're going to be I'm going to be the front end. You're going to be the end right behind me.
No, I would die. I would slit my throat before I put my mouth on your anus.
You'd like it. Like, oh. No. So, let's see. It says a prison plays a part in it all, too. Eric Roberts, as well as Tommy Zeus Lister.
They're going to eat shit. That's what they're going to be in
Robert
there.
Robert Lissardo and Brie Olsen is going to be in it.
Oh yeah, Brie Olsen. Yeah. Oh, the porn chick. So she's probably gonna eat. She probably eat some shit too.
She's gonna eat Eric Roberts' shit.
Yeah.
Well, so Human Centipede 3. You know what? I like both the Human Centipede films.
Really? You like the second one?
Yeah.
Why?
It was just fucking ridiculous.
It was horrible.
I enjoyed it.
Well, the first one is a slightly, it's odd.
Are you saying?
The second one, I just think it's just ridiculous. Some dude jacking off with sandpaper, and then he wraps barbed wire around his small penis and tries to screw a chick.
Wraps barbed wire around it, boss.
Yeah, barbed wire.
Barbed wire.
I mean, there's no way he could do it because his gut was like sticking out 3 feet. And his penis is probably 3 inches. I don't know how in the hell he's supposed to do anything.
But he's fucking determined.
And what about the baby? That chick had a baby in the car and it flew down and like she just destroyed its head, pressed on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
That's all ridiculous. I mean, that's.
He was just trying to offend in that. I mean, it's basically.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then it's like, well, what kind of fun is that? People can do it. People have done it in the past. With a lot less, more style and, in a sense of, satire or something like that. This didn't have any of that. It was just trying to be vulgar and everything else for the sake of that. And no pun intended, left a bad taste in my mouth.
Ooh, poop.
Poopy taste.
So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Maybe it'll be in 3D. I think it'd be a good
Yes, I think that would be the best part.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll serve, like, chocolate-covered peanuts in the movie theater when you go see it.
Maybe you could do the. Maybe you could do it in 4D and you can have the scratch and sniff.
Oh, yeah.
Stickers or whatever.
Yeah, you'll have, like, a little poop symbol on there and you'll scratch it off.
I wonder if they've ever done that. That'd be awesome. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we're going to get to reviewing some holiday horror goodness. Right.
Ho, 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 horror.
Here on
DeadPit.com.
Black Christmas. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
Rated R.
Idyllic scenes out of your childhood. Crisp winter nights, sleigh bells, crackling Yule logs. Remember those. Remember them well. After Black Christmas, they'll never be the same again.
Black Christmas.
If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on tight.
Rated R.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. It's the Merry Movie Massacre Show. So, that being said, we have some merry movies to talk about, don't we, Steve?
Some merrier than others.
Well, you say that, but according to IMDb,
yeah,
To All a Good Night has slightly better ratings than Don't Open Till Christmas.
Well, they're both not exactly great. But the right now, I don't think there is a good version of To All a Good Night. I think it's only a VHS.
No. I honestly, we'll go ahead. We'll talk about it. Let's go through them. First one, To All a Good Night, since it came out before.
Yeah.
The other came out in 1980. This film, I was reading some stuff about it, reading some did you knows. And Media Home Entertainment, I don't know if they finance films or how that works, but there's a lot of stuff that I've seen that media has released that looks like it was just done here's 10 days, make a movie. And they don't care about the quality of it. They don't care how it looks, And that's the case with this film. It reminded me very much of Home Sweet Home and it was another media release, maybe Terror on Tour, and just the way that it looked. It looked so fucking cheap and just, low budget that, it looked like it was, and I was reading, and it was made in 10 days, this film was. The interesting thing about this film is, though, and I've never seen anybody really reference this. This was a slasher film where a killer is dressed up as Santa Claus, and this is pre Silent Night, Deadly Night. So I thought it was interesting.
Right.
Are you there?
I am.
And nobody ever references that. So, I was a little surprised about it. This predates Silent Night, Deadly Night by 4 years.
Yeah.
And I just watched this movie for the first time, Steve.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And you'd seen it, I guess, semi-recently.
Mm-hmm. I saw it, I think Dana mentioned it, and I said, well, I'll just go ahead and watch it. And I think we discussed the quality of it, so that kind of tears it. I wouldn't say it's a bad slasher, but I don't know if it has anything extra to make it stand out other than the Christmas setting.
The thing is, though, I mean, if you look at it, like I was saying, I mean, just the, and I want to be honest, I mean, it's not a good movie. I'm not going to fucking bullshit you and say, oh, fuck, yeah, it's a fucking killer. But it's, you know, it's kind of a run-of-the-mill slasher from that era, I would say. Reminded me, probably the best way to describe it is what I was saying earlier. You know, it reminded me of the Home Sweet Home and just the quality of it, you know, because it was made for fucking, it says the budget on here was $70,000, which I'm even shocked that it even cost that much. But I guess most of it was paid to the crew or something. I have no fucking idea. But the whole plot of the movie pretty much is, it's just like any other slasher movie from the 80s, a group of teenagers at a girls' school, I think, are planning a party with some boys, and one by one get picked off by a killer in a Santa suit. And the thing that I love about slasher films that, you know, this film's doesn't really have at all, and the film we're going to talk about next really has a lot of, is the creative death scenes and just maybe makeup effects, gore effects. You don't really get any of that in To All a Good Night, and even if you did, the cinematography's so fucking dark looking, you wouldn't be able to see any of it anyway. It'd be like, you know, the blood would look like fucking, I don't know, oil or something. But, it is interesting in the fact that David Hess directed it, and it is a killer Santa in a way, pre-Silent Night, Deadly Night, which I was intrigued by.
Well, I mean, one movie that we didn't talk about is Christmas Evil, and that's kind of, you know, 1980. I believe something around there.
That's true. That is.
And he was killer Santa kind of. As well.
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference is in that movie is you kind of always know it's some crazy dude.
Right.
And this one, you don't really know who right. it is. It's just more a Santa Claus.
Slasher.
Yeah. And they keep it kind of a, you know, kind of a secret until the big unveil and you're like, what?
Or like, it's more like who?
Yeah. But To All a Good Night, it's one of those movies that, do you think this will ever receive a DVD release of any sort?
I mean, it's not like somebody goes on about this. I mean, you know, something like Curtains, which doesn't get a lot of talk, but, it, you know, people like it, and it, you know, in the cult community, it gets a lot of talk. And I think, you know, Synapsis or someone's bringing it out on Blu-ray. So I just don't see people talking about this movie enough to be released. Maybe it'll get released in a double feature or a triple feature, perhaps. But unless they can find a better print of this movie somewhere and to at least show it so people can see what the hell's going on, I just don't know if it'll ever come out. The ladies of the Evil Dead are
coming tomorrow. Oh, I heard that, Dana.
What, in Cincinnati or where? The one in March. Is that in Cincinnati?
I think Hal Delrich is going to be there, too, from Evil Dead. She ever met him.
What's his name?
Played Scotty.
Who played Scotty is going to be there, too.
Well, What, on the new Star Trek movie?
No, Scotty from Evil Dead.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, we're going to have
so Star Trek's going to be there,
Dan. That'll probably be at Fight Night Film Fest.
You never know.
Yeah.
Wasn't he and Shaun the Dead, so there you go.
Yeah, well, I don't think he really goes to conventions much, but...
I wasn't focused.
I know, sweetie. But, so, I don't know. I mean, if that's true, that probably makes it a little bit better for, horror
Cincy. Since Dana's chiming in, though, does she have any memories from To All a Good Night? I would imagine she would have enjoyed the film.
Yeah, here she comes. Hold on.
Hi, Wes.
Hello, Dana. How are you?
I'm fine, but Steve's headset is a little big on my head.
Steve's got a melon head. He's like me. To All a Good Night, do you have any memories on that film? Do you like it?
I like it. I think Steve said it was kind of slow, but I think you either like it or you hate it. I don't think there's any in-between with this movie. But I think it has some good kills in it. The only thing that is bad about it is I have yet to find a print that's not so dark.
I don't think it exists. I think, like, whatever they used, maybe natural lighting, is probably the reason it looks so bad, if I was guessing. So I don't know how they would fix that if they come out with an official DVD. I don't think there would be a way. Maybe that's why there's not a DVD of it.
Well, it might be the case like with Prom Night. Like, the VHS of Prom Night when it first came out were good. And then the early DVD releases were really, really dark during the kill shots.
Right.
And then finally, I can't remember if it was Echo Bridge or who put that one out that looked really good. You could see everything on it.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, like Steve was saying, I don't think there's a big demand for this movie to come out on DVD, but who knows? I mean, maybe
people probably don't know about it.
That's true. I'd never seen the film until the other night. So. But, yeah, I kind of enjoyed it. I didn't think it was that bad or anything. When it comes to the, you know, I'm not a big fan of the media home entertainment video stuff usually, but this one wasn't.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this one wasn't too bad. I gotta say it was decent.
Wasn't Terror on Tour Media Home Entertainment?
Yep.
See,
we mentioned that earlier, and Home Sweet Home was another one.
Yeah.
That and the thing is, I was telling Steve this. They both kind of look. I mean, you know, not in the. Lighting aspect, but just the budget of the films, they kind of look similar to this one, I thought. Just very, very low budget, just, you know, kind of thrown together real quick.
Yeah, I think that's probably what that video label was known for, just these thrown together movies that probably didn't get a wide release, and that's probably why not a lot of people have heard of them.
Well, I think they did a really good job on the artwork of all those films, and that's probably one of the big things they probably spent more of their money on, you know, just tricking the people to rent them, I guess. So
yeah,
anyway, I appreciate you joining me for this one. We actually got another one you can chime in on here in a little bit if you want to. Don't open till Christmas.
Okay, well, I guess I'll hand you back to Steve for now then.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Yellow.
We heard from Mrs. Benningfield on here, boy.
Yeah.
So, the next film, Steve, is one that I'd never seen as well. And I love the idea behind the film. And the death scenes in the movie, and I'll let you talk more about this one because I think this was your favorite. It just made the movie for me. And it's a British horror film from director Edmund Purdom.
Right.
Who, I don't think he's done much else.
He was in, he was the dean or whatever in Pieces.
Right. As far as directing goes, I don't.
Yeah. And he's also, Dang it. What else was he in? Edward Purdom.
I might have to look
No, he was in Pieces. Oh, he was an absurd or, you know, Monster Hunter. He was, you remember the old Wizard video, Monster Hunter, where George Eastman's basically unstoppable killer. Stuff.
Yeah, it looks like he was in a tour of the Fighting Eagle as well.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that one's like a Conan ripoff or something.
Yeah, Miles O'Keefe. Yeah, those used to come on all the time. Yeah, those I don't really remember a whole lot. But, yeah, I just think the story is very strange. I mean, basically we open up on a party somewhere at a club or something, and somebody throws a spear, and it comes out Sandus's mouth.
Yeah, it's not... The movie really doesn't have a plot to it that much. It's just kind of endless death scenes, like, throughout most of the movie. And it's a brief movie. It's only, you know, it's less than 90 minutes.
And it's a very odd, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that's very odd for this type of movie. I mean, I don't want to go into too much of it because I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody.
Right. But, well, and if you're into the slasher films that are kind of gratuitous and they show a lot of gore and just, you know, crazy death scenes and stuff, like, this is one for you. And this is actually out on DVD officially, I think, isn't it?
Mondo Macabre put out a DVD a while back. I have it, and it... According to Dana, it looks really good, and it has a lot of extras on it. So, of course, you have the great scene with Carolyn Monroe lip-syncing to some kind of disco music in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, I think I read that her scene was shot in like a day or something. Like, that's all she was.
She was real tight with the producer, Dick Randall. She was really tight with him, so I think she probably just did it as a favor. More or less to him.
Oh,
to do that.
But what's weird is they never really, well, I guess they did. They did on the DVD. They didn't really advertise her being in the film, but they did on the DVD.
Yeah.
The plot of the movie, though, is it's set in London, I believe. And it's a British film, by the way. I think it was all shot in the UK. And there is a murderer on the loose who is only killing people dressed up as Santa Claus, which,
right.
I, you know, and this came out same year Silent Night, Deadly Night, so I'm wondering if they got some kind of inspiration from the Silent Night, Deadly Night film and just trying to make something to offend people and to get the name out there. They're killing just Santa Clauses in this movie. You know, it's a great idea, but I don't think it really worked for them that way, you know, to get their name out there and say, oh, my God, this is crazy, you know.
Yeah, especially, I mean, like you say, to offend, I mean, one scene in there is, you know, maybe worse than some of the killings is the Santa that goes into the peep show.
Right.
That, I mean, to me, that would be kind of offending if you're like, but, I mean, I don't know, I mean, I can't see why that would offend anybody. Because he's a Santa Claus, for at least, but yeah, there's a lot of good scenes, and I think it's a lot more fun of a movie than the previous one, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not slow. Like, you get a lot, you know, a lot of bang for your buck, I guess, with this. You know, with how long the film's short, and I think the best slasher films are like, you know, 85 minutes.
You cut it down, you get out. I mean, I think this movie it's not like really super lean, but the leaner you make the movie, the faster it goes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot better than if it's got a lot more slow spots and stuff like that.
Yeah, and definitely Don't Open Till Christmas is one that I'm going to track down and get the DVD. God damn it, I can't talk. The DVD of it. You know, before next year, because I think it's going to be one of those movies that I probably want to go back and revisit. I was kind of surprised how much I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, Mondo Macabre, I mean, lately they've not put out a whole lot, but some of their earlier stuff, it's really, I've got about 15 of their DVDs, and they're all kinds of wild and wacky movies, so Yeah, I would suggest getting them if you're a collector.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, if you're in for the movies that are just kind of, you know, tongue in cheek at the same time, but enjoyable, you know, where you've got just this, that some of these crazy death scenes, like, I remember the, I can't remember the circumstances, but the fucking, looked like they almost used, or they, stabbed some guy in the head or something, and his eyeball was fucking like falling out. Looked like they used like a real fucking, it was almost like a pig's eye or something they used, and it looked like to me, I was like, God damn, that looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So, it was an enjoyable film. I'm glad that, I thought of, I think it was one that I thought of to watch. There's a bunch of them though, man. That we could, I know there's another one called, Offerings. I think it's around the same time. I think that's another holiday horror feature.
I think I'm actually going to try to rewatch that Silent Night, you know, the remake.
I actually enjoyed that. I watched it last year.
I didn't think it was too bad. I mean, so I want to rewatch that one. Of course, watch one of the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. I watched The Toymaker recently, which is funny.
I think that's the best one aside from part two of the sequels. I enjoyed that the most.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't remember ever seeing three and four. So this one was
not
like,
much to them.
It was just like a standard kind of mid 90s. Horror direct to VHS movies, you know, something that was just made for the home market. It's what it felt like to me, but I mean, it was decent enough for a watch. It wasn't something outstanding, but nothing to be ashamed about.
Three is one that I can remember three because it has Bill Moseley in it, and he's got this weird fucking. But part four. Man, part four was one of the shittiest fucking, like, I think I watched that last year. I tried to watch it last year. It's just fucking horrible. I mean, it didn't have anything to do with Christmas holiday or, I mean, it was just boring. It was really bad. But yeah, part five I enjoyed. It's got fucking Mickey Rooney in it. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah.
Who plays Geppetto?
Geppetto.
Geppetto. another one, though, and we'll round it out here, and then I'll try to get a hold of Uncle Bill. We'll see. I don't want to make any promises because, you know, he's kind of unreliable, folks. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my gosh.
I tried to rewatch Silent Night, Bloody Night.
I want to see that one, too. I'm going to watch that one.
You haven't never watched that one?
No, I've never seen it. I've always seen that poster on eBay.
Oh, my God. That movie is fucking horrible. That's I tried. I've got like the remastered DVD-R. They sent me the DVD-R of the new one, which looks great, by the way, if you're a fan of the movie.
But that's from Code Red, ain't it?
No, it's not Code Red. It's some new company, I think.
I was like, wow, he must have, because I know Code Red just put it out on a double feature for something else.
Well, they can put out any, I mean, it's one of those public domain movies. Anybody can put it out.
Okay. That explains it.
But the remastered version looked great. I mean, I've got one of the public domain versions looks fucking awful. It looks better, but it's not any better. It's just shitty. You know, it's a boring movie. The plot's interesting, and the fact that, you know, it's pretty much the same plot as Halloween, but it took place, you know, 5 or 6 years before Halloween was made. So it's interesting to try to watch, I guess. If you've never watched it, you can try, you know. But I couldn't get through it. I had to turn it off about 30 minutes into it.
I hear you.
So anyway, I guess that's it, Steve. I guess that's all we've got planned for this Mary Movie Massacre with you. Maybe it for the, you know, for the duration. But I'm going to take a break and try to get Uncle Bill on here, and we're going to talk about the 1989 disaster piece, Elves, which is a movie that you all are going to try to watch this weekend, and maybe you can include it on your review of it on the next episode of your guys' podcast.
Yes, sir. It'll be, hopefully we'll have it out next week. I'll give you the link and everything Monday or Tuesday, and you can pop it up, and then people can get a hold of it if they want to listen to it.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Or I'll give it to you Monday, because I know Christmas is Tuesday, so. Or Christmas Eve.
Christmas Evil.
Yeah, we'll watch that too.
So I wish you a Merry Christmas. Wish everybody a Merry Christmas on here. And hope you all get, you know, whatever you want from Santa Claus.
Aw.
Yeah.
Don't kill Santa Claus.
Don't kill him over and over again. Like,
don't do that.
Yeah, that's not nice.
No.
So we will take a break, and I will be back with Uncle Bill, or I'll be back by myself. Here on DeadPit.com.
Eyes! Poop.
Jingle my balls. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Hello?
Buddy, what the fuck?
Hi.
What in the fuck were you doing?
Oh, I was just blowing some dude.
Well.
That's all.
It must have been a couple.
It was a group thing.
Well, they don't call you Golden Lips Fry for anything.
That's true.
So, I guess we're going to review the movie Elves, which we watched for the very first time last night.
Oh, Jesus, which I can't believe. Yeah. We actually, that was the first time we actually ever saw that movie.
Yeah, and I hadn't really heard too many people talk about that movie. I mean, I've heard a couple things here and there about it, but it's definitely one of those films that you've just got to fucking watch it to get it, because there's just so much shit. There's just so much shit wrong with that movie in so many levels. You know, it's one of those movies like, you know, it just needed this one basic little plot. You know, these girls somehow resurrect this creature, and it goes on a killing spree. That's all they needed. But instead, you know, they add it some sort of biological weapon from the Nazis.
Well, that's the best part of the movie, is like how fucking bizarre it gets. Like, how many different things are just completely out of left field, really. It starts off like like a witchcraft. You think it's going to be like a witchcraft kind of curse movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there's just this bizarre thing with the lead actress's little brother just being the most obscene and obnoxious little kid ever, like talking about how his sister's got big tits and everything, and he's going to tell school and he's watching and all this stuff. And then progresses from that right to the elf, which is only one elf in this movie, as far as I know, right? It's not elves.
And it's not even an elf, it's a fucking troll.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be a troll, too. Not troll, too, but a troll also.
And also, you have Dan Haggerty, Grizzly Adams himself, playing, like, I guess he's some sort of, like, friendly bum that turns, like, he gets a job as Santa Claus at this mall, and he lives at this mall, and he just automatically knows where everybody lives in the film. He goes by their house and tries to warn them of this, you know, murderous elf or whatever. And one of the funniest aspects of the movie, too, is that, I guess, the elf itself or the troll itself, because it honestly looks like somebody had bought, like, a Halloween mask or something, and they had just kind of manipulated it a little bit and moved it around, because it had, the creature itself did not, like, I don't really remember this, the facial, it didn't even blink or do anything. Like, it was just a mask
no,
or something.
Its mouth was open all the time, and it didn't really, like, move or blink or, yeah, it was just kind of there, like a Halloween mask that somebody was just moving around, you know.
That's what it was. It was like maybe a latex bust that somebody was just kind of, but you know what? It was fucking fun. It was an entertaining, horrible fucking movie, you know.
It was one of the best, like, awful movies I've seen since probably Troll 2 or Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 or something like that. I mean, it was just, and right from the very beginning, like, I knew that it was going to be great. From the opening scene where you're kind of like, are these people seriously trying to, like, is it supposed to be a serious movie? Is it supposed to be a comedy? And then it becomes more and more kind of bizarre and stupid and, like, for everything from, like, Dan Haggerty's acting, which is, I don't know if you'd really call it acting, because he's this huge fucking guy, but he speaks, like, really softly, and he almost, like, looks like he constantly doesn't know what he's getting ready to say. Like, he's kind of just
lost. I don't think it is in that movie.
Yeah, I'd say that was probably the point, too, but there's this whole subplot about him being a recovering alcoholic and all this stuff, and he's living in this mall where he's a Santa Claus, and the elves are, you know, he's seen these elves before, like, or he's at least seen their, like, trademark insignia. It's just, it's so fucking horrible, and just, there's, like, mafia people in it, and, like, Nazis, and it's great, though. I mean, that's all,
well, there's,
I can say.
One scene, too, I guess, towards the beginning of the movie, where the grandfather character, and we were cracking up at this, we rewound it, you know, he's pissed off wanting to know where his granddaughter was, and he's in a wheelchair, right, and he just wheels himself over there and smacks the shit out of her, like, two or three times, and was like, where have you been? You know, he's got this shitty German accent, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much stuff where you're kind of like, when you watch it, like, did that just happen? I don't know how many times that was the case in this movie, but there's at least five or six times when I was like, I can't really believe they just did that or said that, or that's the hallmark of a good, bad movie, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many bad little, that I can still remember, like, there's another, where the troll breaks in the little kid's room, and he, like, climbs up on the kid, and the kid starts screaming and gets clawed and stuff like that.
And yeah, then, I think you see mostly, like, throughout the movie, just the hand of the elf or troll or whatever, like, that's the, that must have been the big prop, is just his hand.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is a little kid. He's like, what, 8 or 9 years old, probably.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, a troll has just broke up. Yeah, for real, is climbed up in his bed and staring at him and stuff. And after that happens, you know, his folks come in there, his mom and sister and grandpa comes in there. And they're like, oh, you just, you know, it was just the cat or something like that. And he just fucking, like, rolls over and goes back to bed. Like,
yeah, he's fine. He just goes right back to bed.
Yeah.
I don't even know. There's so much stuff in this movie that's great. It would be right up there with, like I said, like those movies to watch around Christmas, or if you were like trying to find like really bad movies that are great to watch, that would be just perfect. Because there's a whole, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on in this movie. There's a whole other plot where all these girls are trying to like get together and bang these guys, and like they're dressed up and the most ridiculous outfits, going around this mall trying, and then like, I guess they're like Nazi, Secret Service people or something, break in and like start shooting them, and like legitimately fucking like kill them.
Yeah.
In this mall for no reason. I mean,
and there's just some lines in the movie too that we were talking about on Facebook last night. Like, they steal the tagline from Dawn of the Dead, but change it around a little bit, you know. When there's no more room in hell, the elves will walk the earth or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? You know.
My other favorite was at some point or another, one of them's like, I want to know what the connection is between these elves and the Nazis. It's like, do you?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Like, I think some of the movie that the filmmaker was really trying to make it kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, you know, pointing, you know, making fun of itself in a way, because hopefully they knew they were making a shitty fucking movie.
I'd like to think so. There's no way, like, I mean, you can't have Grizzly Adams running around with Nazi elves and think that that's supposed to be serious.
Yeah. But I'm going to start a petition and make sure that Synapse Films releases this on Blu-ray. Because I think it needs a Blu-ray release. The Synapse Films can fucking come out with Luck of the Necrophages. I think there should be a special, place for elves on Blu-ray.
I agree. Like, I mean, it's by no means in any shape or form a good movie. I don't think anybody would argue that. But it depends on how you define good movie, I guess. Like, we got a huge kick out of it. Like, it was pretty entertaining, like a good way to spend, I don't even know if it was 90 minutes, but it was pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't think it was, yeah, it probably wasn't any longer than 90 minutes. Kind of a short film, which I enjoy. You know, I think his shitty movies, even the most entertaining shitty movies, shouldn't last any longer than 80, 85 minutes. So,
I'd love to know. I didn't look any of this stuff up. I should have, I guess. I'd love to know what who the director was and what his goal was in making that movie.
I actually looked that up. I don't think he ever directed anything else.
I can't imagine that. Yeah.
Jeffrey Mandel. I'll take that back. He actually, let's see what other classics he made. Sonic Boom, which was a short film that came out in 1974.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Elves. And then he did a movie called Cyber Chick. And
well, Elves was his Citizen Kane. I think we all know that.
Yeah. And the last movie he did was in 1998 called Turnaround, which I don't think any of these other movies ever came out. Like, it doesn't look like I'm clicking on that. It doesn't look like either one of them are available to purchase if you wanted to.
Here's what I'll say, though, without a shadow of a doubt. If you've never seen this movie, and I'm willing to bet, like, the majority of people that are listening to this probably haven't, you should definitely seek it out. Is it out on DVD? I don't even know if it is.
No. The only way you can get it is, like, if you want to download it, pull the Steve way of getting it, or, get the VHS copy, like a hipster.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to find it, though. I mean, it's one of those rare kind of unreleased gems that you don't even hear about anymore, thanks to Shout Factory and Synapse and all those companies. I mean, this kind of thing is the kind of thing where if you are a hipster, you'll love it, because it'll be something that you can tell your friends you've watched that they haven't seen, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure, like, probably the highest recommendation of anything on the show, I would say, would be Elves. I mean, I watched a few other films, and some of them, you know, Don't Open Till Christmas, I think, is one that you should check out, because you'd probably get a kick out of that.
Is that the killer killing all the Santa Claus movie?
Yeah, the killer that's taking out all the people dressed like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I enjoy stuff like that, actually. There's some people that they only enjoy serious horror films and shit like Serbian film and all that stuff, but I'm definitely not one of those people. I probably fall into the Blood Diner category more so than that. So
yeah.
Movies like this I love.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's not real hokey or anything, but it's kind of a fun movie. But
this movie?
No, I'm talking about Don't Open Till Christmas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was saying, goddamn, there's nothing hokier than Elves, I don't think.
No, Elves is kind of hokey. But yeah, any other, I guess before we get out of here, any other recommendations, you know, holiday horror, since we are doing the Merry Movie Massacre show?
Well, I mean, of course, there's the classic stuff that I watch every year, like Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. It's actually one Christmas movie that I do watch every year, amazingly. And in terms of horror films, it's probably the only one that I watch every year. I kind of got tired of Silent Night, Deadly Night for obvious reasons. And Christmas Evil is a movie
I don't even
want to
go there.
To watch.
I don't even want to fucking talk about Silent Night, Deadly Night. Ever again. Ever again.
I was thinking, yeah, you probably don't. I was like, no, I mean, other than part two and probably part five, The Toymaker, all those movies, like, if you were to stack up, this would be a good, like, Christmas Eve night list for you to watch if you're thinking about it. You put Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, 5, and then Elves together, and that would be, like, the cheesiest shit you could ever possibly imagine.
That'd be good. That'd be a good list. Some other ones, though, like that I still haven't seen, and I don't even have a copy of this movie, and I think this is a holiday horror film, Offerings. I don't even think that's out on DVD, is it?
I don't think it is. I don't think anybody ever released that. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I was told that was a total ripoff of Halloween, in a way. But I don't know how. It's just things that I've heard. And also, I know people always, and I like this movie quite a bit too, The Dorm That Dripped Blood. Or Pranks. That's another holiday horror film that people, Synapse actually did come out with that a couple of years ago, and they got that one out on Blu-ray, which looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go serious, I would go with Black Christmas. That's probably the one that, like, to me is the best of all the quintessential, like, Christmas-themed horror films.
Yeah. So, I guess that is it. It's good to get you on here, Uncle Billy, even though it took for fucking hell and ever.
That's true.
You some bitch.
I told you, but everybody knows I signed the exclusive contract that gives me all the rights to my character, so I get to pick whenever I come on. They're like,
do you?
Yeah. Nobody can use my likeness or anything. I can't ever be pinned. It's great.
Well, there's a lot of people who didn't even remember you last time you come back. It's like, who the fuck's that? We ain't heard him in forever.
Yeah, that's actually fine.
Yeah, right.
I'm actually okay with that.
No. You're like, God damn it. I'm Uncle Bill. I was Uncle Bill.
No, I don't think I really have that reaction to that whatsoever.
Okay. So anyway, I guess that is it for the show this week. A kind of a brief edition. But, hey, it's a dead time of year for horror, really.
It is. And January is probably going to be a lot worse, to be honest. It's always the slowest time of year for films in general. But so enjoy the Christmas horror holiday season.
Yeah, we do have, isn't a Paranormal Activity movie coming out in January, though?
I think, the March one is coming out, which must mean it really fucking sucks.
Odole!
Yeah, come in fucking in it.
Yeah.
Human psychosis.
Yeah. So, that is it for the show. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill.
And for the B-Plant, who was on here earlier, buddy, he was giving his opinion, too. You like him. You've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated Ballers and Shock Callers of Horror Talk Radio,
DeadBeer.com.
Chilling with his dog. Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white so bright.